Man of sorrows. Isaiah said that he was despised, he was rejected of men. He was acquainted with grief. A man of sorrow. And he did that willingly, not by force, but he said, I give my life willingly. It is my belief that the Word of God is powerful and it cuts deep into the hearts of men. And so I would like to just say this at the beginning. I view myself as a waitress. The Word of God is the meal that is prepared. And my job is to get the food from the kitchen to you without altering it, without changing it. And I guess out here you guys eat pizza and have these people bring pizza out to your house. And so I'm like that little car or that little driver in that car that brings the pizza from the pizza place to your door this evening. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. This account is recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark, and the Gospel according to Luke. But we're going to use the one in Matthew. I'm going to title my message, The Sufferings of Christ. The Sufferings of Christ. I believe that the sufferings of Christ are the most important truth that we can find in our Bible. It is the biggest and brought the most profound revolution to human history in 6,000 years or more that the earth has stood. And that is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ completely turned the world upside down. Completely revolutionized mankind. And that is why we are here this evening. This is why I drove from Pennsylvania to Indiana. It's because I have this in common with you. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection of Christ. You could say it's a kingdom that is set in motion that has compelled humanity to respond differently than the rest of the world. If the Christian life ends when we die, then we are the most pathetic group of people around. Because we don't fight for our country, we don't put private property signs up and say, this is mine, everybody else stays off of here. We think of other people more than ourselves. And so if this all ends when we die, and Jesus Christ never came and never rose, then we are of the most pathetic group of people. But we know that he died. And if apart from the Bible, you go to Josephus, he was a great Jewish historian, and he penned these things down. So apart from the Bible even, you can see there was a man that was born of a virgin. And this man died. Died an innocent death. And he rose again. Matthew chapter 20. And let's start reading in verse 17. This is the account. This is the third time Jesus mentions these words. And right here in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Earlier it says he sets his face towards Jerusalem. The disciples tried to tell him, "No, Jesus, don't go there. The Jews are going to kill you." And Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. And here, as they're on the way to Jerusalem, it says, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem. It's interesting to me that the word up is there, because from where they're at, they're on a low elevation and they're actually going up a hill. Jerusalem sat on a higher elevation. Jesus took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and he said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And then watch this. And the third day he shall rise again." And it stops there. Now go with me to Luke chapter 18. Let's read the same account according to Luke. Luke chapter 18, verse 31 to 34. "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them," basically, as Matthew there, he took them aside and he said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." And Luke adds, "And they understood none of these things." And they understood none of these things. Now let's not be too hard on these disciples. If you witness to people today, in your interactions with people, you will find that a lot of people don't understand when you start talking to them about Christ. Some don't want to understand it, but some just, it just doesn't really make sense. Our gospel, to the Greeks, it's foolishness. If you're working with very rich people, I had Brother Stephen Fisher tell me that when they install cabinets for these wealthy people in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I think he said, they are the most unhandy people to work with. They have so much money. And a lot of these people, to the Greeks, it's foolishness. It just doesn't make any sense. The Bible says, to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. The Jews, this man that hung on the cross, they had this policy that if you hang from a tree, you are cursed automatically. And so to say that our king hung on a cross, it's a huge stumbling block. And for here, the disciples in this situation, the Bible says, they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them. This is the third time, like I said, that Jesus foretold of his suffering. The first one was in Matthew chapter 16, the second time in Matthew chapter 17. And what I want to pay attention to this evening is the verses, suffer, die, and rise. And it is this last time that Jesus more clearly predicted his death. Again, I believe it is obvious that to you here as a fellowship that the sufferings of Christ is central to your Christian faith. And it should be. It should be the very biblical center understanding of your Christian life. Not only to those who just get converted, but those who have been walking with the Lord for 20 plus years. I've met and talked to people who reject this truth. And they say that Jesus Christ is just a mere human being. Yeah, he was, but he's like all other people. And Amos, you can't prove anything. You can't prove it. Others are willing to give Jesus more benefit, and they say that, sure, he was a prophet. He was gentle, he was peace-loving, he did good to people, but unfortunately, he ended up being crucified. Therefore, it's not really of that much value. The fact is, they're all wrong. Jesus Christ and his sufferings were no mistake at all. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. He told his disciples clearly, this is what we're going to do. And they didn't get it. But it was no surprise to him. It was no accident to Jesus. It was precisely and exactly happening as he understood it to happen. Do you know what Jesus' first recorded statement was in the Bible? The very first statement that is recorded that Jesus made. That's close. He said something as a 12-year-old boy. Yes. I must be about my Father's business. That's the first recording. That's the first statement we have in the Bible of Jesus Christ. Did you not know, he's talking to his parents, that I must be about my Father's business. You could almost say he was a little smart as a 12-year-old. I mean, his parents had to turn around and they were looking for this 12-year-old boy. And he says, did you not know? I must be about my Father's business. His last statement was what? It is finished. As he hung on the cross, it is finished. Jesus knew what he was about, and he knew when it was time to finish it, and he was very on purpose. He finished it by his sufferings on the cross. I believe Jesus wanted his disciples to understand this, and we see some of their requests in the following verses. The disciples wanted a lion, not a lamb. They wanted this Roman Empire to be ousted from Jerusalem. And they, again and again, you know, when are you going to set up your kingdom, Jesus? The women would bring their sons and say, Jesus, can you set my son on the right and my other on the left when you are in your kingdom? They wanted a lion. And so Jesus called them aside the third time. In Mark chapter 10, it says that they were amazed and afraid. So Jesus going to suffer is no accident. His plans are not going wrong at all. And in fact, it was foretold by many of the prophets. We can go back to the Old Testament and find passage upon passage upon passage. It's the scarlet thread all through the Bible of this man that's going to come to crush the head of the serpent, the devil. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin, and what happened? sin immediately separated them from God. They ate of the tree that they were told, do not eat and do not look upon it. And they did anyway. And it separated them from God. And so from that sin came shame and guilt. And all the way there to Exodus chapter 22, when God again said, I'm going to deliver my people. And he said, I'm going to send a death angel. I'm going to slay the firstborn child in every home. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine yourself? Let's just say you are the children of Israel and you're the firstborn child. And you get the message that there needs to be a lamb that is spotless, without a blemish on it. That lamb needs to be killed. Catch the blood in a basin and get a brush and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel. Can you imagine being the firstborn child and you're like, Dad, did you do this according to instruction? An unblemished lamb without spot. And if you do this, you will be delivered from the judgment. Basically, it was a blood sacrifice. And the death angel came. Every door that did not have blood on it had a dead person, both in their house and, as I understand, among their cattle. Sacrifice. A lamb gave his life that evening for thousands of homes. A sacrifice was made. A lamb gave up his life, and God chose to not judge that home. The whole sacrificial system, when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness every day, every feast, every holiday that they would have, every act of worship, every approach to God was started by giving a bloody sacrifice. How many of you people still butcher animals? How many of your children see blood at times? I believe it is a good thing that we don't get completely away from blood. I know it makes some people very squeamish and some people faint, but imagine in the Old Testament, every act of worship, every sacrifice, every atonement that was made had to begin with a blood sacrifice. The sacrificial system, the importance of a sacrifice in a worshiping life. And there was no worship in the Old Testament. There was no worship without sacrifice. And then Jesus comes and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And here we see in our text, Jesus going to Jerusalem. Maybe the disciples thought, when he made these comments, oh, he's talking about the Passover, because that's what they were going to do. He wanted to celebrate the Passover one more time. And by the way, according to the Jewish calendar, and this has nothing to do with my message or why I'm preaching this message, but according to the Jewish calendar, this week was Passover week. The Greek Orthodox people celebrate it as they call it the Holy Week. They haven't been eating meat all week. And tonight, the Greek Orthodox people will have a midnight service. Because according to their calendar, Jesus lay dead in the grave tonight, and he rose early the first day of the week. So maybe the disciples thought that we're going to go have the Passover, and this is somehow connected to what Jesus is saying about being beaten and giving up his life and then rising again. But whatever it was, according to Mark, they were confused and they were afraid. Luke says they didn't understand it. But as we see it, Jesus was very on schedule. And as he said in the Gospel of John, I will do the will of my Father. Suffering was new back then. And for Jesus to suffer, it was just hard for them to imagine this. Jesus went around healing people. Miracle after miracle. Droves of people coming. And now he's saying, I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be spitten on. I'm going to die and then I'm going to rise again. One other thing about Jesus that I want to point out is, do you remember Simeon? When Jesus was a baby, they took him to the temple. And do you remember what Simeon said about Jesus when he held him in his arms? He said he blessed him. He said he will be for the falling and the rising of many. And then he said to Mary, and your heart will be pierced through as with a sword. Only a mother here this evening could understand what these words would be. You would have a son, and you bring your baby, and now the wise old man in the temple looks at you and says, and your heart will be pierced through you as with a sword. All right, let's look at Jesus' sufferings a little more in detail. First, Jesus was betrayed. And the reason I want to do this is I don't want you as a fellowship to ever let your love for Jesus grow cold. Jesus gave his life. As we sang, I think it was the first song this evening, must I bear my cross alone, something like that. Jesus suffered, and now it's our turn. Isn't Jesus the one who said that unless you take up your cross, deny self, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple? So he was betrayed. He was the one who loved the people, he walked with the people, he talked with them. But then we find he was betrayed by the one that he loved. One of the 12 that he chose betrayed him with a kiss. Now you might think, what was the big deal about that? Well, it was a very big deal. The fact that Judas kissed Jesus, betrayed him with something as affectionate as a kiss, and said, here he is, it's going to be the one that I kiss. When somebody close violates that kind of a friendship, it is an ugly sin. It was deep pain for Jesus. The pain of betrayal. And Jesus suffered that. And it was not a little thing for Christ that Judas betrayed him. Number two, Jesus was rejected. The Bible says that he wept. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Even all of his disciples fled. He didn't have anybody anymore. Completely rejected. Number three, they slapped Jesus in the face, and then they asked him, "Who is it that hit you?" The suffering of that kind of humiliation. They mocked him, they pulled his beard, they jammed the crown of thorns on his head, and then they beat upon it. This is humiliation. They put a reed in his hand and put a robe on him, and then they jeered and called him a king. They spit on his face. They scorned him. They ridiculed him. Do you see the emotional pain that Jesus went through? And he said to his disciples, "I'm going to go. I'm going to go do this." The Bible says that in the garden, he prayed until his blood became as sweat. From what I understand in the medical field is you can be in so much anguish that your microscopic blood vessels burst and literally your sweat becomes as blood. But it's very, very few people who ever experience this. It is not physical pain. It's the deepest level of any emotional trauma that you could ever experience. When your capillary blood vessels, those microscopic blood vessels, burst. The pain of humiliation. The physical pain. They scourged Jesus. They crucified him. Now, scourging was a big deal back then. I believe that either it was, they would choose, either they would tie pieces of bones, sharp bones at the end of a long whip, or pieces of lead. And they would tie the criminal to a post with his hands around the post, make him completely helpless. And two Roman soldiers would just lay into him and just whip for all they are worth. And the blood flowed out of his back. And he almost became, as says in Isaiah, someone they didn't recognize. Some historians say that they would take 13 whips across the chest, 13 on each shoulder, and again, two men, two strong men, tied him to a post. Sometimes the criminal's organs would be exposed, and they would bleed profusely. Some, they say, would even die of so much physical pain. Is it any wonder that Jesus Christ could not carry his cross up to Golgotha? And then the Bible says he was crucified. Three words, he was crucified. He laid down his life. The glorious, beautiful, spotless Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son, hung there on the cross. And he did it willingly. Why? So that you and I could live. So that God would find a lamb once and for all, so that God would not look on us as our sins, so that our sins are completely forgiven. Holy God, who will in no way tolerate any sin made the way. By having his own son humiliated, embarrassed, physical pain, and as Jesus hung there on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he died. I'd like to conclude this evening by saying that if we take a close look at the sufferings of Christ, we should be ever, ever so grateful for God and Jesus Christ that He made the way. And it is by His sufferings. The Bible says it is by His stripes that we are healed. The third day He shall rise again. God would never leave him in the grave. And here's the good news. Turn with me to Psalm 16. I'd like to read a verse there. Psalm chapter 16. This is talking about Jesus. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasure evermore. And so God, in His own divine power, had Jesus come forth as a risen conqueror and set Him at the right hand of the Father. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have the answers for our broken world. We hold some of the most precious truth the world will ever know. And there are many people in this community that still need to hear. Some maybe are hearing with their ears, but not with their heart. Maybe there are some who never heard. In the world, there is a lot of people who never heard. We have the message the people need. And it is a message of the suffering Lamb of God. A sacrifice that reconciles sinful men back to God. And we need to share it. If you are here this evening and you are not a Christian, I'm going to ask you, please allow the sufferings of Christ. Please allow that event, the sufferings of Christ, to break your proud heart. Our selfish ways need to be repented of. We simply need to change our mind. We need to agree with God that we are a sinner and repent from that. And let the perfect sacrifice that God chose to heal us and to reconcile us. If you are a Christian, I would like to ask you to continue to be more like Jesus. Just to be more unselfish. Just to be more interested in others. Even if it means suffering. Whatever it means for your life, allow God to choose what He wants to do with you. Because the Bible says if we suffer with Him, we will also reign with Him. There's a song, Jesus, draw me nearer. Nearer, precious Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. And I'm going to close with that, but I'd like to ask, could we all kneel for a word of prayer yet? Lord Jesus, we come to You this evening again, and we want to thank You, Lord, from our hearts, Lord, for the gift of eternal life, which You purchased for us on the cross with Your own blood. Father, we pray that You would forgive us. Many times we take this for granted, and we pray, Lord, You would forgive us. And help us, Lord, to be courageous and to share this with our friends and our neighbors and our people at work. To be faithful, not to be ashamed of Christ. Because we hold the promise that if we confess You before men, You will confess us. Your angels will confess us. And Father, we are so needing, we pray, Lord, to be more courageous to ever share this good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there are those here this evening that have not repented, have not considered their own selfishness, that You would speak to them, Lord, and draw men unto Yourself, Lord. We pray, Father, that Your will would be done, that Your kingdom would come, Father, here in Allen County, here in this fellowship, Lord, that they would continue to lift up the cross of Christ, that they would continue to preach the good news of Christ and Christ crucified, and our love for You would compel us, Lord, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You that we have Your word in our language that we understand. Thank You, Lord, for the hope of eternal life. And we pray that You would help us to be watchful, to be found watching and waiting with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds with thousands of angels. Blessed are those who will be found watching and praying. We pray this in the most precious name of Jesus. Amen.